I literally started experiencing people's tumors just suddenly shrinking. And I mean, once you have the breakthrough, they shrink pretty fast, actually. Just literally the very day of the breakthrough, symptoms are diminishing. The next day, they're diminishing even further. That's how it works.
Hi, welcome to Our Power is Within podcast. I'm your host, Chaz Smith. And my mission for this podcast is to inspire you to take your power back and to realize that you are the healer that you have been looking for all along. We are all capable of healing in mind, in body, and in soul. I am really excited to share today's episode with you. But before I introduce our guest, I have a couple of announcements. As I mentioned in my last episode, I am working on creating a remote, flexible career. And something I am super passionate about is this podcast and podcasting and all of the behind the scenes and everything it takes. And so it makes sense to me that I would potentially build my career in this industry, in the world of podcasting and production. So after over 3 years of creating successful podcasts that ranks the top 1% worldwide, I figured a few things out. And I feel like my skills are constantly expanding. So if you are someone who has your own small business and you've thought about starting your own podcast, but you don't even know where to begin and you want some guidance and support getting set up, shoot me a message. Or maybe you know that you do want a podcast, but you know you don't really have the extra time or the bandwidth to commit weekly to all the behind the scenes aspects of a podcast, and you just need a production assistant, I could be your girl. Give me a shout and let's connect. I can also help with other services like helping you build your testimonial video library for your website or YouTube. There's lots of options. So let's create together. Reach out to me. And with all that said, I knew I couldn't stay away too long. I've been very much enjoying my little break. And as you can see, it's really helped me to get a lot of clarity and perspective. For now, I am going to be focused on releasing one episode a month, which is an option that I mentioned in the last mini episode. And with that said, today I want to introduce Paul Leandertz. Paul has spent the last 15 years immersing himself in the studies of cancer and the root cause through intense observation of hundreds of clients. His conclusion, as we will dive deeper into throughout the episode, is that there's always a psycho-emotional component to all cancers, and they vary depending on the organ being affected. So Paul spent 10 years doing 30-day in-home one-on-one retreats with cancer patients who were out of other options and had tried all the other things, both Western and holistic related. And through diving deep into the psyche-emotional component of their cancer, Paul had a 90% success rate on supporting people healing their cancer. Of course, healing happens within. So as Paul will say, all healing is self-healing. And he was simply a guide to help them connect the dots. Through this journey, Paul has also created two courses to help people dive deep into understanding cancer from this perspective. And he's created a 15-step program to help people process and release repressed emotions that may be responsible in order to free their bodies of any potential blocks that could lead to cancer in their lives. The best part of this chat with Paul, in my opinion, is that Paul is literally looking at cancer from a global perspective based on growing into a culture of love. And he talks about how cancer is a messenger to help us evolve into this true nature of who we are meant to be, which is love. Side note, even if you don't have cancer, I find this whole chat to be incredibly applicable to all forms of disease in the body. And Paul addresses this as well. He talks about how when we can understand cancer from the psycho-emotional perspective, we can actually understand all disease. So I think you're really going to love this one. Enjoy. Paul, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. So for everyone who's listening, I honestly, Paul, I don't even know how I first stumbled upon your work. I'm sure that it was referred to me by somebody or another. And I have been following you avidly since then. And I just think that what you're doing and the results are very inspiring. And just for everyone who's listening, Paul really works closely with cancer patients and works on doing research for healing cancer, which to me is very inspiring because my thought is that cancer has this reputation for being something that is just like, oh my God, if you get a cancer diagnosis, it's a death sentence. And so many people are so intimidated and afraid of it. And because of the reputation it holds, my thought is that if we can find ways to actually witness people curing cancer at all stages and of all types, then I feel we can cure and heal anything, you know, it inspires hope in that regard.
Yes, absolutely. Cancer is one of the most common diseases on the planet. The statistics from the cancer institutes are about 1 in 2 people develop cancer today.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's all the other diseases. But cancer is the peak, I think, because once you understand the actual root cause of cancer, then it begins to bring knowledge and awareness to essentially all the other diseases in general.
Right.
And the main factor is understanding that cancer is a psycho-emotional disease related to emotional suppression, unresolved stress in our lives. And a lot of humanity still thinks that it's caused by many different factors. And of course, there would be contributing factors to cancer all over the world. There's all sorts of things that are detrimental to our health, but there's only one thing that causes cancer, and it's psycho-emotional suppression. The only reason I'm so confident to say such a thing, and a lot of people would disagree with me, but not everyone, and not people that have developed cancer that have really been clear about why, is because I lived with people with cancer for 10 years. And what I was doing in that experience is I was not actually trying to help my clients strengthen their immune system. We were covering lifestyle factors for sure, because those are important. We were eating organic food and we were meditating and we were getting out in nature and drinking clean water and on and on. But a lot of my clients that I worked with and the clients that I work with today have already done all that stuff to perfection. There are people that I've worked with that have done 30-day water fast 5 times in a row. There's people that have told me, Paul, I hate juicing. Oh my God, I've been juicing for 9 months. I've spent $50,000 on juicing and I'm still not healed. What's going on? And of course, then there's the traditional approaches to cancer, which unfortunately also don't address the root cause, because we can destroy cancer in lots of ways. There are ways to kill cancer, but cancer grows back unless the root cause is addressed. So because of so many years of experience working on the root cause of cancer only, it's become very, very clear to me that there's just one cause to cancer. And now when I work with clients, I can help them identify the root cause in one session. That's what I offer now, is a root cause session. 2 hours, we figure out what the real cause is. And it's always psycho-emotional, every single time. Mm-hmm. So it's important to just really come to realize the truth of this, because then we can really make progress as a humanity to start addressing our psycho-emotional realities, the lives that we are living, the template of life that humanity is following. Because that template of life that overall humanity is following is causing cancer at a massive number, 1 in 2 people. So the more we focus on all these physical things like supplements, juicing, whatever, treatments, then we're not actually focusing on the real cause, which is psycho-emotional. So it really limits how much progress we can actually make. And yeah, once you start to understand cancer, then you begin to understand all kinds of other diseases and why symptoms are developing in the body. Because emotional stress, psychological stress, is the most impactful thing on our health. It is more impactful than pesticides, unless you drink a whole cup of pesticides straight or something. And I'm not saying pesticides are not damaging. They're destroying ecosystems and all of that. And I eat organic food, so that's my values, of course. But what I'm saying is you could be someone eating organic food and have psycho-emotional stress related to money, sex, love, personal power, purpose in life, losses. There's many real life stresses that humans face. And these stresses we're facing that we've never been taught about how to navigate through. We've never been taught, most people, right, have never been taught how to evolve our soul through stress when it hits us. What is happening for the most part is people get entangled in stress, entangled in stressful family dynamics, relationship dynamics, world dynamics, and the stress grows, actually. So instead of us learning and growing through the stress, because we don't even have the tools, the stress itself grows. And then eventually we feel stuck, and that causes cancer.
It's interesting because really you could say, oh, this is only applicable to someone who has cancer. But the reality is it's applicable to everyone if we want to prevent ever growing cancer in our body. And I want to talk about that. But I actually want to back up for just a minute because, as you said at the beginning, you spent 10 years living with people with cancer and working with them to heal it. And I would be curious to know how you got into this to begin with.
Okay. Well, I was a holistic lifestyle coach many years ago already. So I've been focused on health and holistic health, how everything ties together, not just physical things, but spiritual things, emotional things, and exercise matters, nutrition matters, hydration matters, how we sleep matters. I was doing that years ago, and despite how much knowledge I thought I had then, I was not able to help my family member who developed lung cancer and died. And also someone else that was really close to me developed lung cancer and died. And we tried everything to try to heal. Every alternative thing we could possibly find to try to strengthen their immune system to beat the cancer. That's the theory, like we got to strengthen our immune system. But our immune system, once you start to understand cancer, and I teach this in my training today, our immune system cannot even touch cancer. It can't do anything about it because it's not a physical problem. It's emotional. So we can make our immune system super strong. It's not going to do anything. And this is why a lot of people that develop cancer, by the way, they have strong immune systems. They exercise, they're eating well. I don't understand why I developed cancer. It's because it has nothing to do with the immune system. And this might sound shocking to some people, and I would get that, but it's just because the whole theory and concept of cancer today is so inaccurate. It's so far from an actual accurate understanding that it just leads humanity in all kinds of directions, searching for cures and doing all these things. So when these two people close to me died of cancer, I realized that I must not understand. I thought I did as a holistic coach. I had them eating organic food. I had them juicing, had them doing all these things. And they also did traditional approaches because things weren't working, right? So just kept trying everything. And then eventually we just had to do traditional approaches. And both of them died. So we worked with multiple doctors, multiple naturopaths, multiple other holistic health healer type people. And myself, all the knowledge I had, none of it worked. So that was a painful loss, but it started to reveal things to me. Because two people died really close together, both of different types of lung cancer, and both did combinations of traditional and alternative things, the experience was just such that it made me have to look deeper. And that is what made me realize that, okay, first of all, maybe the mainstream theory of what causes cancer, what it is, maybe that's wrong, first of all, because if that's wrong, then it's like we're just playing a guessing game of how to try to heal, right? We're just like, try everything, do this, do this, do this, do this, because we don't actually know what the cause of cancer is. But if we realize that the cause of cancer is psycho-emotional only, then you can not stop wasting your time. Well, not wasting time, but stop emphasizing the physical so much and prioritize the psycho-emotional, then we can start actually having success. And in my residency in Canada, I had a 1 month cancer reversal residency for people who wanted to heal themselves. And they had tried everything else already. And I had been through that, as I've shared, right? So I got it. I get it. Like, all these other things aren't working. So all of my clients were stage 3 and 4. And they tried everything. So then they came to my 30-day residency. And we focused only on the root cause of cancer, as I was theorizing it to be back then.
Oh, so you were still at that point theorizing it. Like, you had this inclination, like, no, it's got to be deeper. And then you created this, what did you call it, a 30-day
like 30-day cancer reversal program. Okay. And it was just one-on-one. I wasn't treating people or something like this. We weren't focusing on supplements or alternative things. As I said, I had a healthy lifestyle planned there. I was in the middle of a forest. I was raising my own food. I had chickens and goats and sheep and beautiful trails through the forest. And we were in healthy air and we were drinking water from the ground filtered through Mother Nature.
Wow.
It was a really healing environment, of course. But when clients came to live with me, their cancer, when it would start to disappear and shrink, by the way, I had a 90% success rate. When it would start to disappear and shrink, it was when we had the breakthrough. And the breakthrough is psycho-emotional every single time. So I literally started experiencing people's tumors just suddenly shrinking. And I mean, once you have the breakthrough, they shrink pretty fast, actually. Literally, the very day of the breakthrough, symptoms are diminishing. The next day, they're diminishing even further. That's how it works.
This is with any type of cancer, too, that you encountered with these patients over the years?
Yeah. Every single time without exception. And then after those 10 years since I've been online, now I've been building the Root Cause Institute because I realize, okay, I've got to teach everything I learned, everything I discovered, right? So now I have my level 1 and 2 training, and now I'm working online over Zoom with clients. I don't have this residency program anymore, but now I'm reaching far more people. Like right now, and many people are taking my training. So this knowledge is now starting to spread. And the number of people that I've worked with online has grown significantly. Like when I had that 10-year experience, I would work with one person for a month. And then I would take a month off because that's a big responsibility, actually.
Yeah.
Now I work with a person potentially every day. Sometimes I've got a root cause session with someone multiple times a week. And it's just confirmed everything, even with more clarity.
Mm.
So my first client is my stepfather who died, where I tried everything to help him, didn't work. Then I started to reflect and I realized, man, he went through a lot of emotional pain, actually, before he developed cancer. And I thought about that more. And then I also realized that he'd never cried. I'd never seen that man cry. We never talked about his emotional pain. It was always just kept hidden, kept in the background, try to move on.
Yeah.
So I made that correlation, and that's what led to my theory. And so then I thought about the other person that I mentioned who died, and then I realized they had gone through a life event that was stressful. So when my clients came to live with me in Canada, I did all the lifestyle stuff with them, but they weren't even interested in that really anymore because they already did that. And most of them were told, you're going to die. There's nothing else that can be done. And that's why they're willing to work with someone like me, because who's Paul Leander? It's like, it's just some person, not an oncologist, right? Not a naturopath, not like, who is this person? But they would read my book, The Root Cause of Cancer. And in that book, I was theorizing that stress must somehow be the cause of cancer, right? Because none of these lifestyle things are really solving the problem. And when people would read that book, they'd go, well, that's definitely me. I know for sure that there's all kinds of stress in my life, at least, right? So let's look into this. Then when we started resolving that stress together, and it started with just me talking with people, what's gone on in your life? And just having the conversation would start to bring things up that were clearly not resolved. And yes, so then as they would come to resolution, then their cancer would disappear. It just disappeared.
So nuts.
No destroying cancer. But it's hard for some people to realize that this is actually real, because the theory of cancer is that cancer's cell, it's a rogue cell and it's growing out of control. But it's not. It's not, actually. There's three ways that cancer can exist. It can be growing, yes. It can also become completely dormant and be benign. I've got lots of clients that share their stories with me. They've had a lump in their breast for 2 years, hasn't changed at all. 7 years, hasn't changed. And I've even had clients on my recent level one training, someone shared in the course, that they have a lump that has been there for 30 years. And a recent client that just started working with me, he had a lump from the age 6 until the age 18. Then when he was 18, though, it became cancerous again. So we can have a lump growing, which you'd call cancerous, but then if it stops growing, then we call it benign. But then the other thing is lumps can just disappear, which is what I started observing when I was holding that 30-day program.
Right. And this is interesting to highlight, too, because you just had this inkling through your own personal experiences that there was something emotional. And then you start this 30-day program and you're seeing people actually heal. And mind you, that's like you're not a clinical psychologist or, you know, a therapist or anything like that. But yet just being with you and you having insight into this and asking questions and having dialogue and conversations was able to bring stuff to the surface for them to then address and heal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Yeah, many of my clients shared with me things that they'd never told anyone else in their whole entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Then we start talking about, okay, well, what's been going on in your life? Well, I was abused a lot by my father when I was a kid, or a lot of people have been sexually molested, actually.
Very common.
If you follow Peter Levine's work, he's a psychologist that focuses on sexual trauma. And he says statistically, at least 1 in 3 people have been sexually abused in their childhood. If you just look out into society and think about emotional stress and how we tend to cope with stress, well, one of the ways to cope with stress is smoke cigarettes. One of the ways to cope is to drink alcohol. And well, unless you're a young teenager, then it's not necessarily coping. It probably is, actually, but it's more like, oh, this is how you have fun as a human being, right? This is what it's like to be an adult. Now I can drink. But actually, alcohol is a problem. It causes disease. It causes accidents. It causes injuries and violence and all kinds of stuff. If you look out in society, what's really going on is there's an emotional problem. It's related to love. It's related to what we've learned about love, and it's related to belief systems, and it's related to how do we deal with stresses? How do we deal with challenges when they occur in our life? And 99% of humanity, we have not been prepared to navigate life psycho-emotionally, right?
Yeah.
The school system teaches us education, information. You can learn about geography and math and history, for example, but is that going to help you at all? If you have a relationship challenge with someone you're in love with, how's geography or history or math going to help you solve a problem related to fear, guilt, shame, anger? It's useless, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of healing and learning that humanity actually needs in order to actually prevent cancer and also solve cancer and all the other diseases too. And it's very, very emotional.
Yeah, well, and it perpetuates because our parents' parents didn't necessarily learn these tools, and then they raise their kids and do the best they can, but they're not teaching their children the tools we need to do this. And then those people grow up and they have kids, and it's the same thing, and it perpetuates on and on, generational. And then we wonder why, like, statistically, like, disease and cancers and all this stuff is rise, even like nervous system regulation disorders. I mean, everything rises. Well, why? Because we're not taught the tools. I can think of when I had a huge loss when I was a kid. I mean, love my parents. They did the best they could, but there was no one there to talk to me about that loss or what I was feeling in my heart or actually physically in my body. There was no one there to help me actually process that.
Mm-hmm.
So typically what you do then is you stuff it down because it's too intense to bear. And then you carry that through your whole life until either you do the work or it manifests in some way.
Right, manifest as a disease, yeah.
Yeah, and the physical.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the most common stressors or repressed emotions that you're seeing tied to cancers?
Guilt is a really common one. We can feel guilty and carry guilt inside of us for lots of reasons. And resentment is a really huge one. People crossing our boundaries, just unloving experiences happening. And grief is a really common one.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are all the emotions that result from stressful experiences that have not been resolved.
Right.
It's not like guilt will cause cancer or resentment will cause cancer. It's unresolved guilt, unresolved resentment that we carry. And yeah. that actually will eventually cause cancer if it's intense enough. And the intensity mm-hmm. of these types of things has been growing. And that's why cancer has been growing.
Right.
So there's a few examples. Fear is another one. Fear is huge, actually. That's massive. And we're not taught about fear either. In fact, oftentimes our caregivers live in fear. They live a life of fear, of personal sacrifice. They're not following their passions necessarily. They're sacrificing those because of fear. So we can grow up in a fear-based environment, and then we become a fearful person. And this leads to all kinds of stress. And I find it interesting, over the years, I've worked with lots of different people, right? So sometimes I work with religious people, of course, right? Like, lots of religious people develop cancer, and they're confused. Like, why do I have cancer? I pray to God all the time. I'm a good Christian, or I'm a good Jehovah's Witness, or I'm a good whatever, but I have cancer. Why? And this is all really complex stuff that needs to be understood. So I've had to really start learning, not deeply, because I'm not even a religious person. What I'm interested in is the truth. And what I mean about the truth is what actually serves life and what actually is loving. Mm-hmm. And so there are some serious truths taught, for example, in the Bible, like, whoa, powerful teachings. But I've also realized that there's a lot of corruption happening right inside many religions. And it just depends who the priest is that's preaching. And it seems and positive, too. The Bible's been altered a lot. It's been rewritten many, many times. But there's still tremendous wisdom in parts of the Bible. And for example, there are many sections in the Bible that talk about fear and how fear needs to be overcome. And if we make choices based on fear, essentially, it leads to torment and suffering. So I have a lot of religious people come and work with me, and they are very defensive. Like, wait, you're not a Christian like me, or you're not a Catholic like me, so I don't think I should learn from you. But I help them understand that they're not actually following the teachings of their religion. So if you look into the Bible, it says, do not make decisions based on fear. But then when we start looking into all the stress in their life, there's a whole bunch of fear being lived by. So there's a lot of wise, divine, sacred teachings that are missing from society that seem to used to exist. Like the Bible was built on those things. But today, because the Bible's been rewritten a lot, and because there's a lot of hypocrites, there's a lot of hypocrisy today. For example, I don't know if you've seen the documentary that talks about how Catholic priests were found out to be molesting children. Like a whole ton of Catholic priests. So that's hypocrisy, right? So the Bible doesn't teach molestation, right? I've had a lot of clients that have had abusive experiences with their parents, for example, and their parents, meanwhile, were very devoted religious people. But yet, behind the scenes, they're drinking alcohol, abusing their kids, cheating on their partner, stuff like that. So this is one of the reasons why the root cause of cancer is, I think, just a lot of people just turn the blind eye. It's because if we're really going to actually stop all the disease and suffering on the planet, we need some people to actually start becoming devoted to love and the truth and at the evolution of our soul, like the actual evolution of our soul, so that we start making a better place emotionally, so that we start making life a better place psychologically and emotionally.
Yeah. And that love is like also the love we have for ourselves, because we're often taught, sadly, a very skewed idea of what love is. You've already kind of mentioned it. Like, I can be taught that love is self-sacrifice. So then I'm always ignoring my needs or my boundaries or what matters to me in lieu of somebody else, because in the honor of love. And we know that intense sacrifice in the name of love can lead to cancer. Yeah. I feel like I heard you talk about that specifically on the last webinar I listened to.
Absolutely. Many cases of cancer involve self-sacrifice. And we're taught from a young age, we observe our parents sacrificing themselves in all sorts of different ways, and they also sacrifice us and call it love. It's really interesting. This is wild, but I've been realizing this in a deeper way lately, that in society, it's somehow illegal to abuse adults, but not our kids. It's really wild. But a lot of parents will hit their kids.
Okay.
But we're not supposed to do that to adults, right? Like if you just walk up to someone on the street and you hit them, you're going to get actually charged with assault and probably go to jail potentially. So that's not appropriate in society. People still do it, of course, especially if there's alcohol involved and all that. But behind the scenes, many parents are abusing their children. So we have this mentality across humanity that one of the strategies to raise a child is to abuse them when they do something wrong. So abuse is how you teach them, whether it's physical or emotional. And it's really important to understand, because if that's how we were treated as a child when we were growing up, then when we become an adult and we're in a relationship challenge, we will become either physically or emotionally abusive towards them. Because we are taught in childhood, that's how you deal with a conflict. If you're upset with someone, you abuse them. So many of us have been abused by our parents in different ways. It can be physical or emotional. So you can't come out of your room for a week. You're not allowed to have this, have things taken away and all this stuff. But what we really need most is to be connected with and communicated with. And also, a lot of adults today are so stressed out that it's difficult to be a parent because we're not able to look after ourselves yet. Our own needs are not being fulfilled. So then you have a child that actually needs love, a lot of patience, a lot of support, a lot of connection. That's the responsibility we have as a parent. Oftentimes it's difficult to fulfill that role. The whole nature of society just has so many things that need to change because it's so much out of alignment with what supports life and love. And instead, it's leading to more and more stress for people. And that's why cancer is 1 in 2 people. And the other 1 in 2 people in the world are experiencing some other kind of disease. It's not just like, oh, okay, the other half of the world is healthy then. 50% are developing cancer, 50% are healthy. No, no, no. 50% are developing cancer, and the other 50% are developing strokes, heart disease, diabetes, chronic pain, skin problems, depression, suicide. Yep. It's pretty intense.
Digestive issues, like the list goes on and on.
So cancer is the peak of it, in my opinion, because it really encompasses it all. If you're going to prevent cancer, you got to become someone that's conscious and aware of the physical factors of life, like healthy lifestyle things, and the truth too, not just your standard teachings of the medical system, but actually organic food matters. Even though in hospitals, they don't feed organic food. And in hospitals, they think it's okay to feed pesticides and feed sugar and feed all these caffeine. No. So you really got to become conscious and take control of the physical factors of life. Mm-hmm. By the way, that leads to better emotional feelings and a better life in important ways. But then we also need to start learning about our emotions. And what do we do with guilt? What is guilt? Why does it occur exactly? How do we resolve that? What do we do with resentment? What do we do with our fears? What do we do with meaning in life? And what is love? What is actually love? And then there's some big concepts too. What is God? Where did we come from? All these things. Because honestly, if we're out of alignment with those things, the truth of those things, then we will develop a disease.
We definitely
will develop a disease if we do not become a student of life, like a student of the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual realities of what it means to be a human being. Uh-huh. We're supposed to be taught all of this and raised in a way by our parents so that when we become a grown-up, we contain it all, right? But because of all the generational trauma and all the wars in the world, like just in the last 100 years, there was World War I and II. All kinds of broken families, all kinds of stress, just chaos in humanity, right? Then it's compromised every generation's ability to be completely perfect, which is not even possible anyways, but to ideally raise a child. So there's pain, emotional pain and stress and unfulfilled needs and problems with regards to love and life that we grow up with. And it just keeps being passed on with families. So cancer is this massive, massive messenger saying to humanity, we need to change our focus, we need to change our values, and we need to start prioritizing psycho-emotional health and love, and not just an intellectual concept of love, but actually start behaving in more loving ways and learning about love and taking it seriously and drop all the power struggles and the belief systems and the violence and really start questioning ourselves. That's a huge thing that I teach in my training. We have to question our own ego complex, because our ego complex was created by damaged parents, probably.
Right.
Most of our parents were damaged in their childhood, and they went through the war, or they went through whatever stresses, and they didn't resolve those things. So they pass it on to us. So now we have it. So just the question is, are we going to be victims? Are we going to blame? Or are we just going to actually take responsibility and really start doing our own personal healing work? And this is the only way that you can heal cancer. It's the only way, like actual healing, where cancer doesn't just come back and you're caught in this vicious war on cancer for years and then eventually end up dying. The secret is that you can only heal yourself, and it's by loving yourself, like you said. That's not simple, though. You can't just love yourself intellectually. Okay, I decided I love myself. Same with forgiveness. You can't just decide, okay, forgiveness is how you heal. This is the important thing to do. So I'm just going to make a list and forgive everyone. It's just intellectual, right? It all has to come down deeper into our soul. Real healing comes from the soul. It's in the soul. It's our soul that contains our emotions.
Mm.
It's our brain that contains our intellect. It's our soul and our body that actually contains our emotions.
Mm-hmm. I have a question that I want to ask you, because it's like one of those questions that whenever you try to tell anybody that there's a psycho-emotional component to any of their dis-ease, the throwback all the time is, well, then why do dogs get cancer? Why do kids get cancer? Why do babies get cancer? How could the babies be stressed, or the young 7-year-old child, or a dog who they say is always living in the present? But yet they still end up with all the cancers.
Mm. Yeah, it's a good question. I really respect when people think for themselves and they question things. There's a difference between thinking open-mindedly and being just defensive and arrogant, mm-hmm. though, right? Of course.
Yeah.
I'm not someone that just believes anything either. Well, we could have a whole podcast just on that, but I'll share a couple of things. So first of all, when a baby's born, it doesn't take long before a baby cries. So there's your proof that emotions exist in a baby. And it's also proof that a baby can have emotional stress. That's why it's crying. Babies don't cry because they're happy. They cry because something's wrong.
Right.
And the other thing is, a lot of parents can attest to this. They know from experience. So if you're not a parent, or maybe if you've not experienced this with your kid, you might not know, but most parents know that your kids pick up on your emotions.
Your energies.
Yeah, they pick up everything.
Yeah, they're energetic. Yeah, everything.
If you're stressed out, if you're in emotional pain, if you're crying, it just causes chaos in the children. Mm-hmm. I just did a session actually yesterday with someone who's recently lost somebody. She's in a lot of emotional pain, and she's doing the work with me to grow as a soul through that loss, to process. But before doing this session, she hasn't processed much yet. She's cried a few times, but she's not processing in a way where she's growing through it. Instead, she's just in repeated pain. And what usually happens is, if we don't process successfully through it, the pain turns into suppression, right? That's mm-hmm. the thing that causes cancer. So she's realized, it's been really surprising, but she'll be in one room of her house and she'll get on the phone and start talking to someone about what happened, like her mm-hmm. loss. And then she's emotional. She's talking about the thing, but she's holding her emotions back. She's like holding it together, but she's feeling it. She's feeling the stress because she's connecting to it. And then her baby, which is 3 years old, will start crying and crying and crying a few rooms over. And she's realized that every time she's in a state of stress herself, her baby starts crying. So our children are mirrors. They are showing us what's actually going on inside us that we have not resolved. And pets actually pick it up as well. Our pets are super connected to us. Many people know that if you're sad or whatever, dogs and cats will come over and start licking you in the face, and they feel things. They don't have an intellectual thing going on. And maybe that's why some people think that this can't work this way, because a 3-year-old isn't thinking about money and isn't thinking about this sexual experience it just had, which didn't feel good, or unless it's been molested, but it's not thinking about the government and how corrupt it is. And it's not thinking about like it's bought, right? So there isn't really a lot of intellectual stress happening with the baby. but there's massive emotional stress. In fact, babies pick up emotional stress more than adults because, like most of us as an adult, are to some degree suppressed, but children are not. So if a child feels stress energy, it will scream, it will cry, it will throw tantrums. It's not ashamed. It's not embarrassed. It's not afraid of its emotions. It just completely feels everything. Then as a society, we start saying, you know, stop crying, suck it up, be tough. What's wrong with you? It's not that big of a deal. Your emotions are wrong. Your emotions are wrong. Or it stresses us out. Like to hear a baby crying can be really stressful. So then we try to get it to stop. But it's a problem because we've just never been taught how to connect to our emotions and connect to our needs and process them and hold space for them and so on. And it leads to a ton of suppression.
Yeah.
Dogs and children can develop cancer too. And it is because of stress.
My own theory was always that understanding how incredibly energetic children and dogs are, I always thought they're picking up on us, on what we're putting out into the world. They're with us all the time. So they're just constantly taking all this energy in. And when you think about it, babies, there's thought and theory that we're literally taking in this energy when we're in vitro. Like if we have a very stressed out, high strung, nervous, scared mother and we're in her womb for 9 months, we're literally just taking that all in that whole time.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of science that shows that it alters our blood flow in our brain, and different parts of our brain grow more than other parts, like our hind brain grows more. If our mother's stressed, our hind brain, which is what processes fear and the fight or flight response of the human stress response, will grow more compared to our prefrontal cortex, because our biology knows that we need to be prepared for this stressful life that we're going to enter into. Because if mom is this stressed out all the time, as when I'm in the womb, then I got to be ready for the stress when I'm born, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I want to just throw in here that this root cause work and beginning to understand the root cause of cancer, it's so important. But a lot of people then have a hard time because then they feel guilty, they feel blamed, they feel accused of things. It's not about that. It's just about realizing, are we ready to just look at the truth of what's going on and start doing something about it? So we got to start with where we're at. Don't guilt yourself or blame yourself in any kind of a way if you're not a perfect parent or whatever. And especially if a child has cancer, parents could just get so upset at me thinking I'm like blaming them because it's their stress in their life that's actually caused stress in the child. But it's not about blame. It's about understanding there's a generational problem going on where stress is being passed on from family to family to family. And cancer is just a sign. It's a message that we've got to start taking responsibility for making changes, for really tackling this root cause work.
Yeah, it's a really good point because a lot of people can say you can feel shame or guilt, like you're being blamed, or you can blame yourself. And it's not a blame game. It's just saying, hey, listen, we aren't saying like, oh my gosh, I'm guilty or I'm to blame for where I'm at today. It's just more saying, hey, let me see where I'm at and how can I make shifts for my future? A side note, interesting tidbit, like something I always notice with my dog every single time, and this is with my last dog too, every time that I had any digestive issues, my dog did too. Still, my last dog and this dog, I'm like, oh, we both have an upset stomach today. And every time that I sleep restless, she sleeps restless. Like if I'm tossing and turning, she's tossing and turning. It's like so in sync all the time.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Good for you for observing that and seeing it.
Oh yeah, it's nuts. Yeah, it's always there.
Another example of that that I've noticed too is that if you're happy and really feeling good, like celebratory or whatever, then dogs and cats will become playful. They're really showing, expressing a lot of happiness because they pick up on that energy too.
Exactly. They are really mirrors.
They are.
Really. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think there's this special element to them. Like they're here for us for like a special reason to give us insight into our own opportunities for healing.
I believe that for sure. I've been working on a book actually for a few years now that I want to write whenever I have time. But yeah, it's about dogs and how I view them as angelic beings.
I agree.
For these deeper reasons,
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I know it's very complex and I know there's a lot of different kinds of cancers out there and probably the psycho-emotional cause of each of those, there's probably so many complexities, but Could we go over some of like the very common cancers and broadly speaking, what is the emotional connection that you're generally observing over the past 15 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, breast cancer is one of the most common, and that's associated with love dynamics.
Uh-huh.
And that's complex, but that's breast cancer every time without exception.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. This isn't a guessing game either.
Yeah.
As the years went on, I began to realize, whoa, this is actually how it works every time. And that's because of how our nervous system is set up and how our thoughts connect to different parts of our body and so on. How our nervous system processes different types of stresses.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the name wrong. I don't remember. It's an author. I don't remember which one it is. Maybe Gabor Mate, maybe a different one. But there was an author who wrote a book. And he worked in the cancer section of the hospital, and he did what you did, where he observed cancer patients and would check in and ask them questions about what's going on in their life and get to know their personality and their fundamental characteristics. And I remember reading that he said that 100% of the time, women with breast cancer, they were like the yes woman. And it's the same thing, like would always say yes in the name of love, right? Like always, yes, 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 yes. The mom that like, yes, 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 yes. But it's like, well, what are you doing for you? Because you're so busy nurturing and caring for and sacrificing for everyone else. And so When I learned that you said the same thing, I was like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I read from another person doing similar observations.
Mm. Yeah, I think you might be right. It's Gabor Mate. It could be. Okay. He says that as well, at least anyways.
Is he the one who wrote When the Body Keeps Score or When the Body Says No?
That's someone else. That's a good book too, When the Body Keeps the Score. He wrote When the Body Says No, Gabor Mate.
When the Body Says No, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say they're so similar.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we got that. What are some other really common ones that you see, cancers and connections?
Well, another one is unresolved loss, unresolved grief, and that always causes lung cancer.
Mm-hmm. What about prostate? Because that's a very common cancer for men over 60.
Okay. Well, prostate has to do with stress related to manhood. So the man's feeling about his own self-worth as a man. So for example, he could feel like a failure in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is the big differences between men and women. It's really quite astonishing once you start understanding the human body and more deeply and the emotional components of things, because, you know, like a woman doesn't even have a prostate, you know,
right?
It's kind of interesting. And women have so many organs that men don't have, like a whole entire uterus and a set of ovaries, like two of them. And when I just connect to my body, it's like those things aren't inside me. So I just find it really fascinating. What's interesting too, right, is that women develop breast cancer, but men tend not to.
Right.
So once you start looking into cultural things then and belief systems about men and women, and then also the biology of men and women, the physiology, you'll see big differences. Like women tend to be more self-sacrificial than men.
Yeah.
They actually do. And that's why they have breast cancer compared to men.
Mm-hmm.
So that's psychologically and emotionally, women can be more self-sacrificial for certain reasons. For example, women are less inclined to face fears. Like women tend to have a harder time with fear typically, and we could philosophize about the different reasons why that would be, but men tend to be more fearless.
Mm-hmm.
So in a conflict, in a relationship challenge, women tend to be the ones that are a little bit more scared, because men are bigger usually and more violent and scarier. So women tend to live in a little bit more fear compared to men. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And how does that show up?
Well, then that shows up in more self-sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
Because the woman's actually afraid to be real because of violence potentially from a man. So the man gets to do what he wants, for example, but she doesn't do what she wants. So instead, she just says yes to things more, right? So that's an example of how this can show up.
Oh, I see that. And then if you think about the man who in culture holds this feeling like I've got to be the man of the house and I've got to provide financially and keep the roof over our head. And if they fail in any of those things, then that's going to start impacting their
prostate
beliefs about their manhood and their worthiness.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, wow. And that's such a huge dynamic that plays out in our relationships in society. And those are both so
absolutely
common.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what it really comes down to then again is love, right?
Right.
So if you feel like a failure, then that's not love. You're not loving yourself. If you're sacrificing yourself, that's not love. That's coming from, let's say, fear in this one example we gave.
Right.
There's lots of reasons how this all, it gets really complex once you look into it.
I mean,
we can understand it, of course, and we can address it and we can resolve it, but it's not that simple. It's not easy to heal of cancer. It really requires a lot of digging in, taking off many layers, and really going through a true, as I said, an evolution of our soul. We actually have to evolve. We can't just stay the same like we were. It's not just like release an emotion and then you're healed.
No.
That's not how it works.
Because if you got that emotion repressed to begin with, you actually have to understand like why this happened or why I feel this way or why I do these things so that you can actually change your behavior so that you don't end up just having a new experience in a year or 2 years that leads you into the same old experience. You're not repeating these patterns.
Right. Something I want to just say is that if the human race actually starts to take cancer seriously and we take responsibility for cancer with regard to the root cause, that's what I mean by taking it seriously. I don't think we're taking cancer seriously with a war on cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You could argue, well, yeah, of course we're taking it seriously. We raise billions of dollars every year to study new drugs that destroy cancer cells in the laboratory. Sure. But if you really want to take cancer seriously, we got to look at the root cause, right?
Yeah.
And then by doing that, as humanity starts to actually address cancer, or as individuals and families and so on, actually, we're going to make the world a better place, actually, like in an emotional way.
Yeah, because the more of us that do the healing work, the more that it's like there's a rippling effect.
Right. Our world will have to become a more loving place, a less stressful place, therefore a more loving place, more happiness, more freedom. We will actually start to rise into the potential of like being a human. That's our potential as being a human, right? The animal kingdom, cats, dogs, animals, they only have so much potential. They're beautiful creatures, of course, but it's pretty difficult to stop a cat from enjoying killing a mouse and ripping it to pieces, actually. So you can look at it, your cat's just this cutest little fur ball purring every day. But behind the scenes, it will decapitate a mouse and enjoy that. That's the truth. And like dogs love to kill squirrels. In the whole animal kingdom, the males are oftentimes raping the females. If you ever watch a rooster have sex with a hen, it's not the prettiest thing. So what I'm saying is in the human race, we actually have an animalistic nature still. We can lie, we can cheat, we can abuse, we can do all kinds of dark things. But we have the potential in us to rise into really high levels of consciousness and love. It's possible to bring peace to the planet. Of course, it's possible. Is there peace on the planet? No. Is there peace in a lot of relationships? Some, not all, right? But it's possible. So cancer, it's like if we're going to take cancer seriously, we have to look at the root cause. And if we do that, I think cancer holds the potential for humanity to change for real in beautiful ways. And if we don't, then it's like cancer doesn't step aside and go, okay, you're forgiven. Cancer's like, if you don't change, like if we don't change, then the rate of cancer is going to rise. It's just going to keep getting higher. Then it'll be more than one in two people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice to see that there, at least on an individual level, there's more and more and more people who are realizing that there's this emotional component and mind-body connection to all healing. And more people are getting into that. And I think that's really beautiful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for what's coming, I think.
And you have to, right? Because like you said all the way back early on in the beginning about your stepdad and your other close friend is, if you do this, 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 and this, and nothing seems to work, you've got to be willing to pivot and look in another direction. Uh-huh. And that's what it is, like just kind of culturally and in the medical world with cancer. It's like, let's spend billions and billions and billions, and they just keep looking at the same, but different things, but the same. It's like, can we like pivot? Can we actually like just question and start to begin to look at what else is going on?
Right. Well, it's like if you have a business where you wash people's windows, even though they're clean, so you're not really accomplishing anything, but people are more than willing to just pay you every single day to keep washing their windows, and they're going to pay you, let's say, $1,000 a minute to clean their windows, that business is probably not going to go out of business anytime too soon, because they're just gladly going to be like, yep, keep pouring the money in, let's keep washing the windows, even though they're clean, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not the greatest analogy because cancer is like a negative experience. Clean windows is a good thing. But for 100 years, there's been billions and billions pumped into the same general approach to cancer, the same stuff. there's not really any progress being made. I think there's been some progress with regards to the ability to destroy cancer. I've had clients where their cancer was completely gone after a treatment. Well, multiple treatments, right? And yeah, they suffered tremendously. There was damage to their body. So that's not good, obviously. The cancer was gone. Then their cancer came back a month later, and that's why they're now doing a root cause session with me instead.
Right.
So
relapsing.
This money that just keeps going into a business that's not addressing the root cause, it's not a wise investment, really.
Right.
There's some value in it, but the root cause is where the real work is for humanity.
And it's shifting slowly, one at a time. Find people like you doing the work you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So
the Great Awakening is definitely here. I mean, wow, 2020 was exciting. It was scary and stressful and painful in a lot of ways for a lot of people. But man, did it ever cause a change to occur, a change of focus, and people really started taking things seriously.
Yeah, that's the beauty. I was going to say is like, for the 90% success rate that you had in those 10 years, that 90% of people might have gone through something that's horrific. But on the other side, there's this beautiful gift or light or opportunity for them to realize that there's this totally different way that they can live their life for the rest of it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I have another question about cancer. And this one I'm specifically asking because it's actually a really common one in children, but lymph cancer. That's like a really common child, like cancer that we see in young kids. What have you found to be the connection to that?
Well, it's unresolved stress in the family. So the one or both parents are carrying stress that's been unresolved and it's being passed on to the child in complex ways.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What about for an adult? Same thing? Just
same thing, actually. Yeah. So in the family.
Interesting. In the family. Okay.
Family stress.
And so speaking of also how we can go to treatment, we get better, but then it grows back. The other thing that happens that we see a lot is people start with one cancer and then all of a sudden they have cancer in three different organs. And in the medical society, they say that it's like, quote unquote, spreading. What is your thought or theory on this? Do you believe it is actually spreading, or do you believe they've just reached a point where multiple stressors are all compounding and showing up physically at once?
Yeah, it's multiple stresses compounding and new stress appearing in a person's life. And then it's causing new areas of the body that are compromised, which then cancer starts to appear in. But cancer cannot actually spread. It's impossible for cancer to spread in this typically understood way, this logical way.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer can only grow in a part of your body that's truly compromised energetically. Our emotions are energy, right? So cancer can only grow where there's compromise. So the compromise happens first, then cancer appears there. But if you don't have compromised parts of your body in other areas related to stress, then cancer can't show up there. Cancer doesn't show up as a random thing, right? You don't just wake up one day and you have cancer because of some random thing, like because you ran into cancer and now here it is, or because of a genetic mutation. No, it's because a part of your body has become compromised due to emotions, and that compromised area starts to trigger the growth of cancer.
Hmm. In your experience, through everyone you've observed and supported, have you ever witnessed or seen or connected the dots where they started with one cancer and perhaps ended up developing other cancers and other organs as a result of the stress of the first cancer because of the medical stress or like the fear stress, the fear of dying, the fear of loss of their life, like all these things? Does that happen?
I'll give you an example. I've had clients share with me before that even after they're diagnosed with cancer, and now they're in a really scary situation where their health is compromised and they're taking treatments and whatever, and they're in pain and they're suffering and they're scared. Then their partner goes and cheats on them while they're in the hospital getting treatments, or their partner still doesn't clean the house, still complains to them. So stress gets compounded because then they feel worse about their life or their particular relationship challenge because they feel like, I deserve love finally, don't I? And then they're still not getting loved.
Yeah. Or like I could see they're unworthy. Like, oh my God, no, I can't take care of my house. Like I'm in the hospital. I'm not being a good mom. I'm not being a good wife. And now I'm unworthy or I'm not good enough.
Right.
That could compound.
Right. What's going on internally in them, which doesn't even have anything to do with anyone else, their own experience and how they're not processing their psycho-emotional reality then gets worse from the inside. So stress can just escalate because of outside factors or from inside factors, and then you have further compromised areas of the body, and then cancer appears to have spread. But it's actually just a problem that's spiraling out of control.
Wow. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me. Okay, so we have talked about a lot of things. It's so good. I could ask you like millions of questions. But for people out there, where do they start? Like, where do they start if they have it? And what can we start doing today for prevention? Because you mentioned something. You said people can have an experience like a loss and they can just cry and then cry again. Like your client, you gave the example with the three-year-old. But they're just creating more pain. They're not actually processing the grief. What's the difference? What is the difference so someone who's listening can understand that difference and know how to begin taking steps? Because I don't even know that difference. Like, I thought crying was releasing grief. But obviously, there's a difference between actually crying and actually processing.
Mm-hmm. Well, for example, let's say one of the reasons we cry associated with grief is because we also have a feeling of guilt related to that grief. So we can start to cry about the grief and then connect to our guilt, and then it just keeps us locked into pain about the grief because we haven't resolved the guilt. So then we carry the guilt forward. Eventually, we connect to the grieving pain again that's being held there with the guilt. And so we feel all the pain, we cry about the loss, but because we still feel guilt, then we just suppress everything again and carry guilt. And so you can cry repeatedly where there's not actually progress being made. So the other thing is we can do things intellectually, but it's not actually being felt down in our soul, in our heart.
Yeah.
So this is what my level one training is all about, really. My level one training, I teach, one of the most important parts of that training is my 15-step psycho-emotional processing tool. So I teach 15 steps that you then use for your whole life. And this is how we actually prevent cancer, right? So we can go forward in life when stress happens. If we have stress in relationships, stress with family, stress about money, whatever it is, then we actually just go through this system of 15 steps, processing psychologically and emotionally. And that's how you actually come to a place of peace. So for grief, you would be able to transform the grief and the guilt into a feeling of peace. Once that happens, you won't cry anymore. So it's important to cry. It's important not to suppress all that. But as we cry and as we feel, then we have to transform it eventually into an actual feeling of peace. And most of society's approaches to doing that don't work. This is the truth of it. Even in standard therapy, I've had lots of clients that have been working with a therapist for 5 years. Well, you're not actually making progress if you're working with a therapist for 5 years. So then in one session with me, it's resolved. Because I've learned in 15 years now, this system that I teach. So that's huge. That's what is really essential to learn. And then in my level one training, I explain in more detail how our energy body works and how that is our emotional body. Actually, our energy body and our emotions are tied together, and why that affects our physiology, how that works, and why it leads to how cancer grows. And also why it leads to other symptoms in our body. The course isn't just about, like, it's focused on cancer, of course, but
yeah,
it addresses pretty much everything that's caused by emotional stress. Yeah, and in that training, then I explain in detail prostate cancer, breast cancer. Breast cancer is complex. They're all complex. The least complex of the cancers, lung cancer. But I explain them all in detail. So that's where I think it's important to start. If you want to really learn about this, then I highly suggest my training. I hold it once every couple of months. It's a recorded training. It's 6 days of class, 4 hours each day. And you can rewatch the course because it's recorded. And then I have a monthly call. So everyone that has taken the training, now it's like 115 people over the last few years of holding the training. So there's over 115 root cause practitioners out there now.
That's so cool. Do you have a library, like a network or library on your website where people can look different people up that are in their area?
I haven't set that up yet, but we've been talking about it because we also have a level two training. And in level two, it gets more advanced because in level two training, this is for people that are really serious about coaching. Then I'm teaching about childhood experiences and what we need as a child to develop and how our childhood shapes our ego complex today, which ultimately leads to cancer. Level two is more focused on reversing cancer, healing from within. It's much deeper. We get into talks about God, teachings about God, teachings about love. And I have a 28-step cancer reversal process to go through one step at a time that I teach to my students there. But with each of these trainings, there's a monthly call. So every single month, we also, for a whole year afterwards, we get together and students can call in and ask questions, whether they have cancer or they're working with someone with cancer or they have stress in their life and they want support or guidance on that. And it's a pretty valuable monthly call because there's a lot of really potent questions that people ask. It's real life scenarios. And then those are recorded as well. So we have a growing library of those. And then also with level one training, there's a whole section of resources that I'm continuously expanding, like specific teachings of certain things, like how to deal with anger, how to deal with grief, like other factors and components that are parts of the layers of it. And that resource section is what comes with level one training. And then there's a whole other resource with level two. That's what I suggest. I strongly suggest taking my training. If you really want to understand the root cause of cancer and pretty much all other diseases, and you want to go deep, you've got a lot to share. And this course has a lot of value in it.
And you also have the one-on-ones where you just go into a two-hour deep session with someone to help them get to at least understanding what might be, like, what's going on with them at a root cause.
Right. I do. Yeah. So if I'm helping someone with cancer, if you want to do the root cause work and heal yourself, how my system works is you do a root cause session with me. In that two-hour session, we'll figure out what the root cause is. And then I also start doing healing work and guidance together. We also get into the healing process right away. And then I have a mentorship. So that's five more sessions that are scheduled at a pace that is wise based on different scenarios and factors. And then the person gets access to my private resources. It's like a course and it's of itself. And it's over 50 hours of videos explaining how to deal with pain. If you're in pain, explaining how to deal with fear and how to deal with boundaries in your life, setting healthy boundaries in relationships and how to learn to say no instead of saying yes all the time. If that's the fact, like there's a whole huge section that's essential. So you start becoming a student of your cancer.
Yeah.
In my mentorship, you go deep and completely transform yourself through this mentorship. That's the goal of it. There's huge sections on taking action, I call it, to love yourself. And I have self-nurturing practices to undergo, different types of meditation. There's just one section on meditation. I've got some potent styles of meditation that I teach, but also other things like how to do art for healing reasons and how to find out what your soul wants for you, like how to start reconnecting. So this whole mentorship is how I help clients today. I just created it last year because I had to switch from working one-on-one with a person for 30 days to working online from a distance.
Right.
Actually, I'm finding this to be more fruitful for me in my soul because I can help more people at once. And a lot of my clients are sharing, giving permission to share their sessions and their stories just within my mentorship. So that other clients who also have breast cancer or also have pancreatic cancer can start seeing the experiences that other people are going through. And it's really starting to turn into something really special and powerful for helping a person through their journey of healing themselves.
Mm-hmm. I love that. How can people get in touch with you and learn more?
My website's therootcauseinstitute.com.
Okay. And you're on social media too, Root Cause Institute or?
Root Cause Institute. Yep. On social media. You can follow me on Facebook. Those are the three ways to follow me. On my website, there's lots of free resources, free webinars, free podcasts with a ton of helpful information in there. And the three things that if you want to go deeper and further, then take my level one training. And after that, you can go on to level two if you want to get really deep, and especially if you want to be a coach helping others and start your own business, let's say, if you want to be a coach.
Mm-hmm. But if you have cancer right now, the best approach might be just to go directly to one-on-ones with you.
Probably. It depends. But yeah, that would be the most important. That would probably be the best thing is to just start one-on-one because it's customized then.
Yeah.
In the training, I have to consider everyone that's in the course and I have to focus on the course material itself. If you have cancer, it should be customized.
Yeah.
If you can do both, which some of my clients have, that's even better because it's really helpful for people with cancer that have taken the training. Because on the introduction day, for example, I ask everyone to just introduce themselves if they'd like to share why they're here. And so if someone else is in the course that has breast cancer and so do you, it's powerful to hear their story. And there's a lot that comes out in the course because I still customize the course actually to everyone that's there. But yeah, gotcha. Don't wait for the training 2 months from now or something. If you have cancer, just start right away.
Yeah, you know, that makes one-on-one. Sense. Mm-hmm. What would somebody get out of your book? Because you have that book too. What would be the basis of what they'd get out of reading the book?
The book is probably not going to help someone heal. I don't think my first book is going to help someone heal. It's more intellectual. So it's explaining why the war on cancer isn't really working and some different factors about cancer that are essential to understand, like cancer absorbs sugar. So I released my book back in 2012 and I brought forward like in a significant way that cancer absorbs sugar from our bloodstream. And so there's a lot of dietary factors in there. How do I identify sugar in food and what natural flavors are, which are really dangerous things to consume, but are in all kinds of food. And there's a lot of...
So it's very educational.
So it's got value. And there's all sorts of tips throughout the book, like how to start changing your life. So it's inexpensive way of getting into the root cause. It's just $30 or whatever it is, and it's going to have value. But I think it's just a step to get deep. You got to do some root cause sessions or go right into the full training.
Yeah.
The book's valuable for sure. I just don't want people to think that just by reading that book, they're going to be able to heal.
Sure. Yeah. Very rare from just a book.
Have someone send me a message that the book changed their life. Yeah. Their relationship dynamic changed and her cancer went away. And we've had some students that have taken the training who have reversed their cancer just from level one training. And level one is about cancer prevention, mostly. Level two is about reversal. And just from level one, we've had 4 students now reverse their cancer. So potent stuff.
Crazy.
When you actually focus on the root cause, you make progress big time and accomplish big things. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, makes sense. Wow. This was so fun. I'm so grateful for you taking your time to just meet with me and share your wisdom. Your passion is definitely obvious. Like it shows, it shines through in the way you speak and the way you talk about all of this stuff. And I think it's really... beautiful. So thank you so much for just
and thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks for doing what you're doing because that's what we need, right? We need people who are willing to ask new questions and look at things differently to come up with truth. All right, friends, that's a wrap until next time. And I already look forward to it. In the meantime, you can connect through Instagram DMs or shoot me an email or send me a voice memo so I can hear your beautiful voices on the website at ourpowerismwithin.com. Full transcripts are also available on the website for people who prefer to read over listen. And this episode will be available on YouTube in video format if you prefer to watch. So until next time, make this month great.
Open wide the dark within my dark.